The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 23, verses 35 to 43. And the people stood by, watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals was hanged, reeled at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Earlier in verse 27, we were introduced to a great multitude of people who were mourning and lamenting for the Lord Jesus Christ. This again is mentioned at the start of this segment here in verse 35. Following Jesus all the way to Golgotha, the place of the skull where Christ was crucified. They stood there powerless, even though they knew that Jesus was innocent. Innocent of all the charges, and no doubt feeling the pain that Jesus went through as he was being crucified and lifted up on the cross. But they could do nothing for him. Luke then contrasts this with another group that was present, the rulers, the chief priests and the scribes, members of the Sanhedrin. They stood there seeing the same agony and suffering that Jesus was going through. They didn't respond with compassion and sympathy, even though they too knew that Jesus was innocent of all these charges which he was being crucified for. Charges which they themselves have drummed up with faulty accusations and false witnesses. They knew. But in the face of his suffering, their hearts remained hardened. And they scoffed. They scoffed and they sneered at him, even as he hung there, suffering the most painful death, the most painful way to die in those times. No sign of compassion, no thread of humanity shown. They mocked him as he hung there, defenseless and slowly dying. "Let him save himself, if he is the Christ." Their contempt for him was clear. The Gentile Roman soldiers who were present took the cue. They were Gentiles who didn't know the Jewish scriptures, and they didn't know any better. And they parroted the same words used by the rulers. "King of the Jews, save yourselves then. Save yourselves." You see, they were soldiers, and so in their minds, kings sit on thrones. They don't hang on crosses. And so they, too, mocked Jesus as he hung on the cross. Our attention is then shifted to the two criminals that were also crucified that day with Jesus. We see one of the criminals using those same words that the rulers had used in verse 35, mocking Jesus. And he, like the soldiers, were parroting the same words of disdain against Jesus. And again, Luke contrasts this with the response of the other criminal on a cross. he responded with repentance, recognizing that he had deserved death due to what he has done. And also with humility, asking for Jesus to remember him. Obviously, this other criminal knew something of who Jesus says he is and what Jesus has been teaching about the kingdom of God. Even though Jesus was suffering the same fate as him on the cross, he knew that Jesus was innocent of the charges. And although he doesn't know how it's going to happen, he had enough faith in Jesus that perhaps he is really the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, as he claims he is. And with that little faith, he asked for Jesus to remember him. A simple, humble request from someone who recognized his own guilt and condemnation. And to that humble request, Jesus said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." You know, Jesus saw his repentant heart, his sense of personal guilt, and the acknowledgement of his need for Christ. That was all that was needed. That was all that was needed for Christ to receive him into his kingdom. My friends, what about us today? Do we find ourselves parroting the words of the world, of the unbelieving world, and following the wisdom of the world in terms of how we live out our faith and our understanding of God? Or are we basing our faith on the words and the promises of Scripture and of Christ as laid out in the Word of God? Do we find ourselves parroting the words of the world, or are we abiding in the Word of God? You know, one of the other things that always come up with regards to this particular word of Christ on the cross is the word "today." You know, the whole doctrine of paradise and life after death has been shaped by this word "today." That perhaps the criminal was immediately on that same day accepted into this place that is called paradise. I don't have the time to go too much into this, but I think we are missing the point if we over-focus on this particular word. What's more important in that sentence that Jesus said, I believe, is not the word "today," but the words "with me." With me. It's not so significant whether it's today or tomorrow, but that he will be with Christ where Christ is. That promise is also for all of us today, for you and for me. Jesus knew where he was going to after he died. Do you? Even in his last hours on earth, and even while hanging on the cross with his last few breaths, he underlines his calling and his purpose to effect salvation for all who would believe, for the criminal on the cross who expressed that faith in him, and also for any one of us here today. So my friends, today, would you put your trust in him? If you do, Jesus says, "You will be with me in paradise."